In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have two Gospels which are not generally read together. They are only read together when two things coincide. The Apostles, Silvanus and Silas, and those with them. And the reading for them was that second Gospel reading about taking up the cross. And then today, the regular reading for this Sunday after Pentecost, which I believe is the 10th. And that's for the healing of the lunatic son. By the way, that word is a bit of a misnomer. People thought that people were lunatics. That is, they became possessed when or crazy because of the moon. When actually, the demons, always looking for an opportunity to delude as many people as possible, would wait for the moon to be full and then would cause all kinds of havoc. And people in their superstition would think it was God's creation that was creating this, when it was actually the demons. And actually, it was our sins that create this. The Lord is pretty clear to the man who comes to him and has the boy who is possessed, that the man has problems with his faith. That's why when the man comes to him and says, "Heal my son, your apostles couldn't do it," the Lord says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" Why did he say that? Because the man was faithless. Not completely faithless. Partially faithless. His sins had contributed to his son being possessed. Yes, that indeed does happen. And yes, indeed, our sins can contribute to the delinquency and the suffering of others. It's true. You don't sin in microcosm. You don't sin, that's not the right word, is it? You don't sin like you're an island. You know, you don't sin alone. You sin as part of the body. And your sins can cause others to suffer. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Now, he heals the boy after, in another place, this is in three Gospels, the three Synoptic Gospels. This one by Matthew is a little more laconic. It does not mention an important thing that the man said. And an important thing that our Lord said. He says, "All things are possible to them that believe." And the man says, "I believe, help my unbelief." So that's why we can't say that the man was totally faithless, but he had definite problems with his faith, with the way he lived his life, because he had opened the door for his son to suffer. We'll be back to that in a moment. "I believe, help my unbelief." Very important words in the scripture that we should remember. And so there's a description of what happens to the son. He falls into the fire and water. And there's some really important things here, but I'm trying really to focus on one thing that's important, the most important today, that I've deemed the most important to talk about. You should know what those things mean, by the way. If you don't, you don't read the Bible enough. You should understand what falling into the fire and falling into the water means. And if you don't know it, then read the scriptures. And if you don't understand it from the scriptures, read the fathers, especially Blessed Theophylact. This is important stuff. Much more important than whatever magazines are at the checkout counter of the grocery store and whatever news there is on Yahoo. This is more important, to know the scriptures. So he heals the son, casts the demon out. And the disciples were rather upset by this. Not upset that the boy was healed, but they were upset that perhaps something they had done wrong. So they go and say, "Why couldn't we heal him?" They had healed many people of many demons. They'd raised the dead. It caused lepers to be cleansed, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, because he'd sent them out two by two. And they'd had all the success, and then this man comes to them, and they couldn't heal his son. Now, Jesus was gone during this time, by the way. This is just at the point in which he went up to the mountain to be transfigured. So he was not there when the disciples were trying to cure this boy. So they ask him, why couldn't we do it? And he says, because of your unbelief. And then he gives him examples of what belief can do. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move, and it shall be moved. We can actually move mountains with faith. That's true. It's happened literally. I know of two incidents. One I remember right now and one that I don't recall. But there is, of course, the one with St. John the Baptist. The mountain moved to protect him from being killed before his time. And there's another one I don't recall. But regardless, this is not only referring to physical mountains. It's referring to any task, anything in our way, anything that we beg God to help with, God will help us. And so he goes on and tells them that this kind, that is the demon that was in the boy, comes out not except by prayer and fasting. Now we've always understood this in the church to mean that we must pray and we must fast in order for our passions to come out of us. We've always understood it that way. Most people that consider themselves Christian that are not Orthodox, they don't understand it. In fact, I would say a startling number of Orthodox Christians don't understand this. They don't fast. They don't see the importance for it. They just see it as some sort of legalism, some sort of relic of a bygone era, something only monks do. And the reason they see this things this way is because they look at life in a secular way. I've spent my life now as a priest trying to get people to look at life as it really is, not in a secular way. There's only one thing important in life, salvation of the soul. Nothing else matters. And yet, we have all these other priorities and all these other ideas. And yet, we have human needs, and we ask the Lord to help, and then we are surprised or upset or angry when we don't receive help. And yet we're not working very hard. Fasting is just the beginning. Fasting is just a basis, sort of a platform upon which you can stand firmly. There's much more in the Christian life than fasting. Without fasting, you won't be able to pray with a great attention. It just won't happen. And so fasting and prayer are absolutely necessary, and the reason why they're done so little is because they take work. And when we work, we have to have a goal. If you don't have the goal of the salvation of your soul every moment, every hour, then you're not going to want to fast that much. You're not going to want to pray that much. You're going to find other things more interesting than the scriptures. You're not going to go to church that often or trouble yourself to come to confession and communion that often. The Lord is telling us the way to life here. Fasting and prayer are just part of the picture, but they're all about effort. You look at yourself in the mirror and decide, how much effort are you making? Really, none of us should think we're making enough. Even the saints didn't think that. But let's be honest with ourselves. We can't really say we're very saintly for saying that we don't work very hard, because that's just plain true. We don't work very hard. And this gospel is telling us how we can have faith that moves mountains. Faith that deals with all of the difficulties in your life. You got any difficulties? Maybe. Got any things that really perplex you? That really sadden you? That seem like an impenetrable mass of problems? God would solve them if we ask him. But we must ask him with faith. St. James says, with faith and without doubting. How do you do that? Well, you do that by struggle. That struggle has been taken out of Christianity. We see it all the time now. And even among Orthodox, I see amazing how little they understand that life is about struggling for righteousness. Fighting for righteousness. But certainly in modern day, what passes for Christianity, there's no struggle in it at all. In fact, it's just about renaming sins so that they're more palatable and appear to be virtuous. And then you can do what you want and say you believe what you want. That person who's spiritual but not religious, that person doesn't want to struggle. And don't kid yourself. There's a bunch of people that are spiritual but not religious in the Orthodox faith and every other faith. You make sure you're not one of them. You make sure you know that life is about struggle for righteousness. And that involves work. And the work is rewarded with peace. But if you don't struggle, then you will be like this man who says, there's something wrong with my son. Not even knowing that it's your own fault. So you've got to struggle. You've got to work hard. And fasting is a good beginning. Many, many of you have trouble with fasting. Well, there are other virtues that you had better be getting to, but you can't get to them until you start to fast. And if you don't fast very well, then just fast with something. Do something. If you don't fast at all, then begin by not eating meat on Wednesdays and Fridays. Even if it's not to eat beef, if your normal meal is a hamburger, at least let it be fish or chicken. Begin with something. Because if you don't have struggle in your life, you just won't be saved. That's just true. Our life, our salvation is not won by saying, I believe in God. He saved me. Now I can move on. That's not salvation. Salvation is the perfection of the soul. And the Lord is teaching this here. Now the second gospel dovetails perfectly with this. We must take up our cross and follow Him. I've told you before, I'll say it again. I'll say it many times until finally I'm dead or in prison and not able to speak to anybody. The greatest heresy of this age is that you can have salvation without struggle. That salvation is only based upon what you believe. Salvation is how you act, who you are. You must become like Christ, and it's hard. So you got to work at it. We work at all kinds of stuff. Many of us have gone to school and had a tough time. So what do? You study really hard. If you're not good at a particular sport, you practice over and over. Why don't we do the same thing with our faith? We've got to do it. But don't anybody think they're getting chewed out here, because the things that I'm saying apply to all of us. All of us. You cannot be saved without struggle, brothers and sisters. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe that you can redefine morality or that you can just live a sort of compartmentalized life. God wants your whole heart and your whole life. Everything you do, everything you say, all of your priorities, all that's important to you, all that you strive for. He wants to be in your business. He wants to be in your family. He wants to be in your innermost desires. In fact, He's a jealous God. If He can't have all of you, He'll have none of you. You've got to give yourself to Him. And this prayer and fasting will help you. Now, generally, I try my best to encourage people to follow the Christian life and give them examples that God will help them even with their sins. That's all true. And the reason I do that is because we live in an age now where people are just mamby-pamby. People can't take it that there's stuff wrong with them. And if they don't succeed at something for 20 minutes, they quit. We're in a very, very just childish and immature age. And so a pastor has to deal with that. So I only rarely would speak like this, but this also needs to be said. Get up and get to work. Struggle. If you're not fasting, start. If you don't know how, talk to me. If you're not praying much, begin. If you don't know how, talk to me. If you're not reading the scriptures, read them. If you don't know how, talk to me. Because you've got work to do. The salvation of your soul. And it's not going to happen without work. That's a heresy. It happens with desire, striving. How could we raise children if we didn't work? We could say, oh, I love you, cute little one, but I'm not going to do anything for you. I'm not going to attend to your clothing and your food and to your all your needs. I'm just going to let you just sort of do whatever you want. What kind of child will that be? Of course, anything worthwhile is worth working for, and so is Christianity. That's basically what this gospel, and especially the second gospel, about taking up our cross means. Now, I'll just be honest with you. In the summertime, in my church, in just about any church, attendance goes way down. People got other things to do. You should be just as Christian in July and August as you are in September and October, or shall I say, let's say, February and March and April during Great Lent. You've got to keep working no matter what day it is. Our churches are weak because our people are weak. You got to work. That's what this gospel is saying. So may God help you to work. May God help you to pray and fast. May God help you to have a goal in life. If you don't know what your goal in life is, come talk to me. Because it's all over the scriptures. It's all over our prayers. And if you don't know a goal in life, how are you going to reach it? So may God help you to struggle for righteousness. Amen.